time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to the Ministry of Motivation. You're listening to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. This program will not be about the typical church-going people or the people who have stopped going to church. Now, when you talk about religions or politics, it usually puts a division line between the people. I'm just an ordinary guy that's want to help people with the aid of the Bible to have a more balanced life. This show is about ordinary pain and ordinary people. Not the kind you see on television, like the wife of Atlanta, a basketball wife. I'm trying not to put a division line among the people, but to unite all people. And the topic of the show tonight is sense of self. And the scripture that we will be coming from is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. But at this time, I would like to open up with a prayer. God, I would like to approach your throne and ask you to help us to surrender to love so that we can help one another to be encouraging when time of trials and tribulation come upon our path of life. Now, this I pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. After these breaks, we'll be right back with the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe.
Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come into this place where I am. Thank you, Lord. And begin.
Welcome back to the Ministry of Motivation. You listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. You just heard Holy Spirit. And the topic of the show is sense of self. And the first scripture that we will be coming from is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 and 34. I would just like to put this disclaimer out there. I'm not reading from the King James Version Bible, but I do read the King James Version Bible. I'm reading a Bible study guidebook to help me to understand the Bible a little bit better. But I do read the King James Version, but not tonight. I'm not coming from the King James Version. So the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be misled. Bad associations spoil useful habits." And 34, "Wake up to soberness in the righteous way and do not practice sin. For some are without knowledge of God. I am speaking to move you to shame." Self-reflection. Until you take a journey to self-reflection, it is almost impossible to grow or learn. You must grow from struggling to searching. If the hurt just won't go away, although you can't change what happened, you can change your reaction to what happened. Drinking from the cup of bitterness and hate, you can never be satisfied until you eliminate hostility. You know, self-reflection. People say, if I can go back into the past and change time, to be realistic, you cannot. But reality, you must go back in time and change your childhood fears, what have been implanted in your mind from someone else's pain, so that you can stop the emotions that suppressing your joy. Now, until you fix your clock in life, you will not be able to press past to the next level. So we all have that time in life we can't let go. If you had a bad experience in life, it may have been somebody said something to you or did something to you, beating on you a lot, sexual abuse, any problem that happened when you was a child, it interfere with your choice and decision you made. So you lose sense of self. Life isn't easy to deal with the hurt and the pain that arise when you are a victim of mistreatment. See, uncontrolled anger can cause you to take action that you will regret. Now, if you let yourself be consumed with resentment, you become as helpless as a hooked fish. Now, one of the best ways to deal with trouble feeling is to talk to a person who went through distressing challenges. Confiding is often the first step towards emotion healing. Now, if you can't bear a face-to-face talk, try writing a letter or speaking over the phone. But what if the hurt just won't go away? Remember this. Although you can't change what happened, you can change your reaction to what happened. And do not let yourself be conquered by the evil, but keep conquering the evil with the good. This is the thing that keeps your heart unlocked so that you can live. Do your mistake causes you to feel miserable? If so, remember Paul. He was a disciple of Jesus. He said, "When I wish to do what is right, what is bad is present with me." So let that be the example and a role model, Paul's life. Read some of these stories in the Bible. And when you say to yourself, "If I can't live up to the perfect ideal person, why try at all?" Because God's chosen ones had flaws too. Some was fornicators, murderers, adulterers, spreading lies, but they kept fighting off the correctness of their ways. You may well have been disposed to rage, perhaps because of the influence of a family environment or other factors. But what you do with that rage is within your control. And the question is, where do you want to be when it comes to your emotions? In the driver's seat or in the passenger seat? See, others have learned to control their anger, and so can you. But you didn't have to walk around like a stick of dynamite looking for a fuse. You know, how often do you lose your temper? Never? Every week? Every month? Every day? And who is most likely to make you lose your temper? No one? Parents? See, the cup of bitterness and hate, you can never be satisfied until you eliminate hostility. You know, pour out your heart from justice and trials and tribulation. See, the struggle is real. God took the shield from your circumstances so that you can grow. You can't survive in somebody else's shadow. You can't exist. See, God's kind heart was not unfailing in reaching your darkest moment. See, only you can be displeased with your destination, and only you can add a step in the walk of life. See, God's spirit will pick you up and carry you until you are able to walk. The key word is desire. Desire must be the first thing you must have, then love and passion, so then you can believe in yourself. Obviously, we jeopardize our reputation acquainting ourselves with conversation, not upbuilding. I would like to tell you this story of two men. Their name is Smith and Brown. Mr. Smith was placed in this hospital or the nursing home because his kids has careers and family to deal with. So they claim they couldn't find the time to care for their father. So they put him in this home. And Mr. Smith was giving the nurse a hard time and complaining about everything all the time. So the old man kept people very upset all the time. About 2 months being in this home for the elders, Mr. Brown were admitted in this home. And the only bed was available was with Mr. Smith. And the nurse warned Mr. Brown, Smith was a very hard man to get along with. It would be best not to socialize with him because he had a bad temper. So Mr. Brown requests to put his bed by the window. Since Mr. Smith was there, he always had the shade pulled down and very dark in his room. So Mr. Brown would get by the window and look out this window and just laugh and talk about the things he seen outside the window. How the birds was flying and the kid was playing and how the sun was shining outside. Mr. Brown sure knew how to paint a picture. He really never directly addressed Mr. Smith about what he was seeing. He just would laugh and talk to himself. And he done this for a couple months, driving how people was enjoying themselves from his window pane, expressing how life were wonderful and the grass was green and the sky was blue, couples was walking and holding hands, kids running and playing with one another, and how the flowers were so pretty with all the different colors. One day, the nurse came into the room and asked Mr. Brown to get dressed so he can go and have a checkup and see the doctor. The nurse took Mr. Brown out of the room early that morning, and the next day, the nurse came into the room and started to gather Mr. Brown below me. And so Mr. Smith asked the nurse, what happened to Mr. Brown? She said he had a heart attack when he got into the examining room. Mr. Smith recalled all the wonderful things he said about the life was happening outside the window. So Mr. Smith asked the nurse, could she put his bed by the window? So the nurse did what he requested of her. only to realize the only thing he could see outside the window was a big wall. Mr. Smith told a nurse, "How could Mr. Brown see over the wall and see all the beautiful things?" he explained to me. The nurse said, "Mr. Brown was blind. He couldn't have told you all those things." Mr. Smith looked at the wall with a smile on his, knowing Mr. Brown put words in his feeling just to unlock all the hurt that was in that he was holding inside. Self-deception. Self-deception. See, wallowing in it too long, you lose sight of your right to dream. See, dreams aspire to the goals that you created for yourself. You must grow from fear to faith to stop the eruption over control and power over the mind. See, drinking from the cup of bitterness and hate, you can never be satisfied until you eliminate hostility. See, self-deception. See, there's a tendency to confuse the condition of life with the process of life. See, when that happens, life itself becomes hard to live. See, life is a process of taking what you have and turning it into something worthwhile. See, your willingness to do this determines the condition of your life. See, in life, certain people would impersonate understanding. They will smile at you. They will assure you that everything is just fine. They will make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. They may even say, "Yes, I understand." Yet, when the moment comes for a demonstration of understanding, what you will get is misinterpretation and misrepresentation and miscommunication. And you would probably get blamed for the misunderstanding. See, certain people would impersonate compassion and concern. They will have you convinced that they have your best interest at heart. When the moment calls for a demonstration of compassion and concern, what you will experience is abandonment, betrayal, rejection, abuse, or neglected. You feel like, "I can't tell the difference, thief or friend." See, both take your wealth. See, thieves steal your possession when they left unattended. Friends, you give them your wealth within you, and all that within you is destroyed because you thought they would use it to help. Instead, they use it for selfish reasons to gain access to precious possession. And it could be your job or the one that you love. Unless you take the time to gain clarity in the beginning, you may find yourself company of an experienced imposter at the end of the friendship. You know, glaucoma could steal up to 90% of your vision in one eye without you being aware of it. And all of us have that natural occurring blind spot, and that's the eye of life. But we call this the spiritual eye. This eye can foresee the end of results. That just like if you buy a house, and to everybody else, it's a beat down, ragged out house. Now, it looked useless and no good. But that spiritual eye can see how it will look if you do some work to it. The spiritual eye will be able to look beyond what everybody else cannot see. That's the beauty hidden in the dark. See, the most common kind of glaucoma is slow and steady, and without any warning, cause damage to the nerve structure that connects to the eye, to the brain. And this is the spot on the pupil where your nerves is devoid of light sensitive cells. See, your spirit is the same way. If you do not get any God word and take it to the heart, you will go blind to people's cry for help or become cold-hearted to others. So you must have love to be able to see life as a gift instead of a curse. You know, we all know that one person, that every time you see them, they complain about something or somebody. Just a negative person. And this person become like glaucoma, slow and steady, and without any warning, cause damage to your relationship you have with God, our Creator. See, the darkened individuals cannot see or make discernment about situations. They can't make clear decisions about everyday problems that occur in life. Let's say, for example, let's say this. If you're driving your car down the road and the car starts shaking and you pull side the road and you notice because the car is shaking, you notice that you pull side the road and you check the lug nuts and you notice that it's only one lug nut that is holding the child on your car. Now, the average person can't figure out what to do. And the only thing you need to do is take one lug nut off each tire. And that will give you four lugs. So always try to look through your spiritual eye. See, the good we do today may be forgotten tomorrow. The love would impel us to venture to faraway gateways to life unanswered questions. You know, keep on confronting difficulties. Take it to the heart. Start building one another up. See, until you aspire, you should not take away your integrity from yourself. You know, we let circumstances convince ourselves from reaching our goals. It could have been that you didn't finish school, you haven't finished school yet, or you haven't got a job yet, or you don't even have a car to get to this job. And we let people torment what we have in our heart. See, our self-knowledge is being quickly shaken from your reasons to achieve your goals. See, people with passion and desire take some false steps before he or she aware of it to try to readjust his life. You know, before we get locked into something and long to be set free, you know, it could be join a game or a clique or get in a relationship. You know, ask yourself, what kind of name are you making for yourself? You know, take a successful stand against what you should know to resist temptation. And how can you give a powerful evidence that your mind was established? Remain watchful. Keep expectation. Keep your eyes on the things that are unseen. Be observant. Focus on improving your skills of handling life problems. Recognize Satan's trap. You know, it was written in the beginning of time that you have a place. See, self-acceptance. You must be devoted to transforming to self-love. Identify the weakness. If you don't get any God word and take it to the heart, you will go blind to people's cry for help or become cold-hearted to others. Self-acceptance. Instead, people are hating one another because they're mad in their life because they can't let go all that anger they have on the inside of them. From people who put their fears into them. See, you don't have fears. You only have other people's fears been implanted in your mind as you was growing up. That's why people don't know themselves, because they've been living in somebody else's story of themselves. People tell you, you're crazy, just like your father, or you're just stupid. I wish you was never born. Tell yourself, would it ever be possible for me to use my abilities, intelligence, to eliminate the control of injustice that dictate there's no help or importance? Take charge of your life and choose your presence upon this world. Things begin to change that when people will become a threat to your confidence. And only then you are rendered a stable place in life. Stop catering to the weakness. Take back your control, because sometimes we don't make something work at that time. That don't mean stop trying. I said in my mind, I was tired of not trying. And we sometimes give up on things in life too easy. Yes, it's going to be hard because it's life. Obstacles. It's up to you to deal with whatever you are confronting with in life. Sometimes you got to dig down deep and just gut it out within yourself. Tell yourself, I can handle this. I can make this work. I just need to gather my mind and get focused in life. So many people in your life or so many things in your life clutter your thoughts and your thought patterns. Sometimes you have to get to a quiet place in your life and just sit down so you can meditate and gather yourself. Tell yourself the world did not get the chance to see your greatness. And the only thing that people saw was your self-doubts. Now, self-doubts. Self-doubt is anger that multiplies to self-hatred. The ingredients is resentment, arrogance, disobedience, jealous, meanness. You must identify with the strength so you can take passion to the next level. You must imprison anything that contradicts your potential. If you're drinking from the cup of bitterness and hate, you can never be satisfied until you eliminate hostility. Now become dissatisfied with yourself. Start contemplating why I betrayed my confidence. And become displeased with your destination. See, only you could add a step in the walk of life. See, God's kind heart will not be unfailing in reaching your darkest moment. See, God will take the worst moment of the worst day of your life and reconstruct disappointment. Are used to having a war zone going on in their life. And once the war is over, people still are fighting with themselves. So condemn serve as a sign. So they have to create a personal war with anything or anybody. Now, the spirit of rejection and denial would empower their assault on their priorities. You know, I think about the meaning of pain. Pain is personal. It really belongs to the one that's feeling it, and probably the only thing that is their own. Now, why the reason why their pain is not strong, because when you fight over something, you fight with hate. And when you fight for something, you fight with love. It's a terrible thing to live without love. See, the countries that would die unless you step over into love. See, when trouble comes, then dishonor will come. Self-doubt. Self-doubts will discourage your motivating spirit. You have to contend with your own imperfection. Powerful emotions are involved. Are you willing to overlook past wrong? Focus on improving your skills. Recognize Satan's trap. Feel worthless or over-discouraged because discrimination was impolite. It would not accept your forgiveness. See, if you stumble, get up and move forward. Now gain God's trust. Experience the truthfulness of those words. See, God's determination promises no regret. You must vandalize wickedness. Now represent something greater than discomfort. Take a successful stand against what you should know to resist temptation. See, sometimes you will feel like quitting and giving up, seem too hard to go another inch. Now, you should see all the faces and hear all the people saying, I knew she or he wasn't going to be anybody. See, at that point, something needs to happen to your mind. It should refuse to see and hear anything, but I can do it. I have a place, and I belong here. with everybody else. See, only at that point, God's Spirit would touch all your fears and run them away. Your love starts out like a blank sheet of paper. And as we fill this blank sheet with decision, action, and experience of life that shape our individuality and personality. See, until you expire, you should not take away your integrity from yourself. Always have sense of self. And always remember 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 33 and 34. See, bad association can corrupt. But after these breaks, we'll be right back with the Ministry of Motivation. You'll listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe.
The body of Christ is under attack, but we shall not be defeated because the God who is for us is more than the whole world against us. Yes, we're claiming victory today over poverty, sickness, disease, malice, and division. For the saints and for the Lamb of God.
We hold our reign.
And we proclaim.
And we proclaim.
The victory.
The victory.
But we proclaim in his faith that God has built his church upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock, and the gates of hell. Declare our victory in the name of Jesus. Bow down. Infirmity and insanity have to bow down in the name of Jesus. Come on and rejoice in the Lord and be exceedingly glad, for he is our champion, our defender, our shield and buckler. He's the ruler of every nation.
Victory,
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 Welcome back to the Ministry of Motivation. Listen to this show through Hip Hop National Radio. I'm your host, John Lowe. Now, we accept all genre of music, gospel, hip-hop, pop rock, R&B country, etc. We are hip-hop with a twist. The only thing we ask of you is to keep it clean, so we can get the word out on your music and to your new fan base. Now, upload your MP3 to www.hiphopnationalradio.com. If anybody out there would like to call in and participate with the show, all thing you have to do is push smash 213-559-2995. You can call in and participate with the topic of the show.
Well, John, this is Raw Dog. We have someone with their hand up. So shall I bring them in at this time?
Yes, bring them on.
All righty. Caller 954-304, please say your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, my name is Aria. I'm calling here from South Florida again. And I'm just listening again to another show from you, John.
Hey, Aria, how you doing?
Fine, I'm just listening. I'm trying to see if I can learn something new tonight. And I hear you, talking about how when you're on, basically when you're on God's side, how everything will work out. We have to make sure we're able to control ourselves, you know,
yes,
against our enemies and things like that. Because I do believe all of us as Christians, we're going to have enemies, of course. And, you know, the devil has his group, but we have our group. And we have to remember that we have God, we have the angels around us. And that's already powerful enough. And God and the angels who are around us are on our side. They're our friends. They're our real friends, while the devil and his group and his angels, they're not friends with they don't wanna be friends. They want us to go to hell. So basically, we should always be reminded that at the end of the day, we will win, you know? So we can never die. We can never lose.
Yes. I know one thing you kept bringing up to my attention is that people impersonating to be your friend, and those are the devil, people that works, that do his work for you. And you have to be very, very careful, you know, who you let into your life.
Yes, amen. Yeah, I definitely believe that. Like, I feel like, especially those who aren't so certain that there's a God, and you could tell by the way they act, like those that curse and stuff like that, and like to talk about people. Things like that, they usually don't have their eyes on what we have our eyes on. They usually don't meditate. They usually, they usually don't go to church. They're usually not as religious as we are, or they just need somebody to remind them, that God is watching them. So, like it says in the Bible, we don't wrestle against flesh or blood, but against principalities, Ephesians 6, verse 12. So some of these people inside, it's like you may not know, but the devil is actually using them, Because remember, the devil is the prince of the air. So basically, in the air, it's like, when the devil says things and things like that, you have somebody who may actually speak out their mouth, and all those words are actually coming from the devil. So as a Christian, yeah, we have to be reminded that, we're all basically spirits, we're not flesh, and that our reactions shouldn't be like to the point where we get so mad, like we hate them or whatever. We should be easily forgivable, because we know that it is actually the devil that's trying to, it's actually the devil that's trying to, make us lose. And, you know, he's the one who's trying to conquer us. So we have to be reminded that, basically, we just laugh at it. We just know that, you know, we have God at our side, and the devil is already defeated, and we are the ones who are in control. So that's,
yes,
that's how we need to think.
Yeah, we definitely need to keep conquering the evil by keep doing good towards other people. But,
yeah,
you know, there are also people out there that do have a spiritual side within them, but they haven't really blossomed into that spiritual side. And that's what the topic is about, is to realize your spiritual side. Everybody have a spiritual side.
Can I kind of jump in here? Since I'm a little bit older head than both of you, I'm going to give you something to think about. Because I love you too, Ariel. You know, hey, this is Raw Dog. We've talked and talked before. Yes, dear lady. You know, my trip is like this, and I got to tell you guys this. This is kind of an elder that's no longer on earth told me this phrase. And he says, you know, before you leave home, say the phrase, "Get behind thee, Satan." And I just kind of listened. I said, okay, all right. I understand the phrase, and yeah, you know, hey, no, I don't want that type of individual coming face to face. I want to have my armor on so that I'm not going to be misled or off course behind their whatever they're coming and offering, okay? Whether it's a conversation, a point of intelligence that they're going to give me that's not correct. And, you know, I used to say that before I left home. And then he also gave me something in the Bible that, you know, he said, you know, that to worship God, come as you are. And he said, you know, you attract people by wearing the highest of fashion and you know, the jewelry and all of that. And he said, why can't they accept you the way you are through your character of who you are and how you conduct yourself? And I kind of went, but everybody else is dressed up, but does that mean that you're going into the right place to have people that you call friends? You know, can't you come as you are? And I go, will they accept you and treat you the same way? Or do you have to have all of this glitter and what have you to be accepted? And I went, whoa, wait a minute. That's deep, because the trip about life, it's so simple. You know, you talked about people cursing and what have you. By the character that you want to be, all you have to do is say, hey, not around me. Now, if they can't understand that, they got to hit the door. See, because if you surround yourself by what you won't accept or what you don't like, aren't you becoming part of that?
Yes.
The environment that you let grow around you becomes the environment you live in. So by letting them know, oh, no, not around me. You know, that's the same as I've heard males refer to females, calling them the B word to the female's face. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. Stand for something or fall for it all. You've got to make a lot of stands in this life. You've got to make a lot of stands. Would you want somebody to love you, and here you are all day in a muumuu, and, you know, hey, with your slippers on? Wouldn't you want somebody to love you as much as you think that they would love you in the highest of fashions?
Yeah. Wait, let me say one thing.
Go ahead.
I just remembered something. What you just said about a man was calling somebody, you know, like stuff. Basically, I was at a bus stop, and this man, he was telling me how he got into a confrontation, like he got into, you know, like a fuss or something on the bus. Some man, there was this girl, and there was this man, this man was talking to the woman on the bus, and then the woman told this other man if he can sit beside her, whatever, and it looked like she wasn't so into the other guy, so the guy called her the B word. So she got up and went and sat in the back. She didn't say nothing. She just got up and sat in the back of the bus. And then the guy who she was calling to sit beside her, which was like her friend, said, don't call her that, and stuff like that. And the other guy said, saying stuff like, oh, I'll beat you up and stuff like that. And then he had another friend, I guess, who was listening to the whole thing. I don't know. I guess he said, oh, we're going to, we'll beat you up, something like that. And the other guy said, I guess, was like, okay, whatever. He was saying, okay, because he was saying that they don't know that he has a belt or something because he's done boxing or something like that. I don't know, something like that. That's what he told me. So anyways, he got off the bus and basically right when he got off the bus, he like hid behind the trees because he didn't want them to see him, and they were riding a bicycle or something like that. And then when he came from like the bush or wherever he was hiding from, he saw one of the guys at the gas station. It looks like the other guy went somewhere else, but the other guy was still there, like somewhere in the gas station or something like that. And he told me how he told the guy to come over here, and then he hit the guy and stuff. And I was telling him, basically, he doesn't need to do that. Like, you know, as a Christian, he doesn't need to do that. But before I said that, he said that he hit him and he fell. And then the guy was like, okay, we're done. You won the fight. And then the guy the guy was like, yeah, you won the fight. And the guy was like, okay, so don't call a girl, you know, the B word. And then he held his hand, trying to lift him up, and then he hit him again. And basically that was it. And then I was telling him that he didn't have to do that. He could have just, like, he should have knew in the back of his head that God would protect him. You know, like, he shouldn't have done anything. You know?
Well, let me say this.
I don't know what else happened after that. I think he said, how he, like, the police or something, he had to, like, leave something. But I like how you stood up for the girl. But sometimes you get yourself in problems, and you have to say a scripture. There's, you know.
Well, you see, let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. You're right because he was wrong. Okay, he was wrong.
Yeah.
When he brought violence and judgment and revenge, because they're all three of them, for what the guy had said. You can't take things into your own hands and extract revenge. Mm-hmm. Remember, you know, judgment is God's. You know,
yeah.
And so when he says he's a Christian, no, that was an excuse.
Yeah, no,
he's using being a Christian as an excuse, because doesn't it in the Bible say if you get hit on one cheek, turn the other one?
Yeah, he didn't.
Well, he
tell
didn't
me
get
that
hit
was,
at all.
He didn't tell me he was a Christian. He just he told me that basically he heard the guy saying it to the girl, and he said something like he wanted to stand up. I mean, he said something basically on the bus, and he said, "Don't call her that," or whatever. And the guy was threatening him, like threatening to like beat him or fight him or whatever. And he got off the bus, and they were trying. They were looking for him, like, when he got off the bus or something, and he hid somewhere. And then when he came out of the bush and he saw the guy, he told the guy to come over here because now it was only one person. And basically, when he came there, he basically won the whole thing, because the guy was a big guy and the other guy was a skinny guy. And the big one, the big guy dropped when the guy hit him. But I was trying to tell him that basically he didn't have to do that because it's wrong what he did. Like, basically you were standing up for the girl by saying that, but you didn't have to, even if the guy was threatening you, you should have just hid behind the bush, maybe walked the other way or something, and just go
well,
home.
See, but you know where you have a problem with this guy? And you have to be careful. That's not chivalry. That's a bully. Because no matter how you put it,
yeah,
everybody heard what the guy said to the girl. Okay? The best
uh-huh.
thing he could have done is comfort the girl and said, hey, the guy's crazy. But to confront another individual,
yeah,
and you said he's a big guy. Now, you got to trip off of it. There's a big guy syndrome going on here. Because, you see, guess what? As a little guy, I'd have dropped to my knees and cut his ankles. Now, see, that's not
true. No, listen.
The little guy
okay.
could have done that. Just as in the Bible, okay? In the Bible, do you remember Goliath?
Goliath?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you start to think about things like the Achilles of an individual, their weak point, you know, when you start saying he took up for the girl, okay,
yeah.
what was
that
the
was
purpose
mine.
Behind that? All he had to do is protect the girl and leave the guy alone. I mean, the guy had already gotten everybody's opinion of him as he called the girl the B word as he went to the back of the bus. Automatically, the whole bus read him. You know, now here's something funny. Here's something really, really funny. I was a bus driver. God is on the bus. If that boy would have came to jump that girl or harm that girl, do you know how many people bought knives that day from, you know, Sears or Walmart or wherever that they're taking home so they can cook their dinner? I had an incident like that where an innocent individual was being bullied and cursed at by a gentleman on the bus. The guy was on crutches. And this guy pushed him and was threatening him and what have you. I pulled the bus over and I opened the doors and I stood out and I lit a cigarette. And the reaction of this guy, seeing all the rest of the people were armed and ready to stop him from hurting this innocent individual. You see, God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
The bully didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. You know, maybe he wanted you to think he was Captain Save Somebody. Okay? But that's not a true Christian or a male. Walk softly, carry a big stick. The phrase walk softly, carry a big stick is what Christians do. They don't tell you. They don't do you like that. They ask God, help you, help that gentleman, okay? Please help him. He doesn't know what he's doing or what he's saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's it. And then Christians are always prepared. We've had to battle all our lives. We battle with the Bible, and then we battle with God's plan of what he happened to have us buy at the store on the way home, because we were doing something, weren't we? We got something, you know. So when you say it like that, it's like, I hear you, but I hear a hero complex going on here.
It seemed like he was fighting in the flesh. He should have just, you know, how do you know? What if he lost? What if he was the one on the floor? So, you know, but I feel like he shouldn't have made the guy him to fight him just because he wants, I mean, just because he's saying he's going to, he'll da-da-da-da-da and beat him up.
Okay, can I tell you another phrase that might help you through some conversations people give you? Is this. Believe half of what you see, none of what you're told, and then you'll be okay. Okay? Now, this is something he told you.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it doesn't quite make sense. It doesn't.
It didn't make sense either to me when he told me.
Well, but see, guess what? People try to impress you. Now, maybe he was trying to impress you. And
yeah,
you weren't aware of it.
He told me that. I was like, okay, that was so random. But I did like that. Like, I heard, I'm hearing that a man stood up for a woman because, you know, I haven't really seen that. But I feel like it would have been nice. It would have been nice if he ended it all in a good, like, in a pure positive, you know, state of mind.
Well, let's put it like this. When you're in the jungle, you got to fight the critters that exist. But I just don't see it like that. I mean, you live past those kind of things. And let me say this to you. Fights and what have you are just not, after you get a certain age, they're just not something that you're going to indulge in, you know, that quickly. Because a lack of freedom. You know, what if he'd hit the guy, would have hit the concrete, and the guy would have never got up? That's murder.
Yeah.
Okay, see, so then who was going to back him up that this guy insulted a female on the bus and threatened him?
Exactly. He would be in jail.
Okay. See, you know, people can lose their souls because, the devil was pushing him to take revenge when, you know, judgment and that kind of equation is in God's hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great point you're making because that's the biggest problem with people now. We are so quick to fight over something, but you fight with hate. Once you fight for something, you fight with love. And this guy was fighting with hate. You know what I mean? He's fighting over something. Let's fight for something. Those should be the dreams, the things that you want to achieve in your life, and those type of things what we should be fighting for, instead of fighting over things that really people get misguided of what they're fighting for. They lost out here. The concept was
beautifully put.
Can I ask you a question? What about those who do boxing or in the ring and they fight and do wrestling? Like, I don't like watching that, but it's like some of them, they're literally bleeding. What do you think? Do you think a Christian should even be in the ring or, think a Christian should do a job like that? Or, like, what do you think?
Well, my personal opinion about what a Christian should do. I mean, if you look at it, God used a lot of people in the days, just like there was a lot of wars before. People had to go to battle, and God asked people to slay other people, to do some things in life. I try not to judge what a person do individual by his living.
Yeah.
There may be a talent that this person has. That's maybe his way of earning a living.
Yeah.
So I try not to judge what I think what a Christian job should do besides boxing and all that different kind of sports because it's not for me to say that. I can't really answer that question.
Well, I like the way you answer
sometimes,
that. Only God can judge. Only let's leave it to God to judge it. But I guess I wouldn't do it that.
That's entertainment. And then, like I say, you know, Goliath, he's slaying, you know, there was a lot of things took place. And there was people had those kind of games back in the days in the arena. They were fighting lions and tigers and killing each other. So those type of things took place from the beginning. And still until the day, those type of things are still taking place. So I can't really say because there's wars. He said, you know, 1 Thessalonians say that there's be time for wars, be time for everything up under the sun.
Uh-huh.
That's a point of time for everything. So, you know, I can't really say about that. I can't answer that question because there's a lot of great people did a lot of things for being in that sport and how they help people in that process.
You answered that one very well. Yeah, but, John, I hate to bring this to your point, but the time is running short.
Oh, man, let me end with prayer. I had a great time, great show with y'all on the board. But let me end with a prayer so that we can close out. God, I would like to approach your throne and to ask you to keep us loving one another, considering one another how to help each other instead attacking one another. And let us surrender to the love that you have installed in the heart so that we can be the best person that we could be and so that we can connect to our spiritual side in life and continue to grow. This I pray in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody have a great night.
Bye. God bless.
And, and you know what? I really appreciated the show. And you know what? G Squad should go out with a song. And I know you like it. God bless you, Ariel. John,
God bless
wonderful show. And
God
I'm sure
you,
that next Sunday you're going to have an even better show. I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, here we go with I Pray by G
great,
Squad.
Great, though.
All right. Y'all have a great night. Appreciate that.
Well, now, if the board would work, maybe God doesn't want to be on.
whatever you need to move on, whatever you need to insert on, 'cause I don't got time.